You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, as Canada enters week two of the 2025 federal election campaign, we begin our coverage here at CICK News with candidate interviews from the streets of Smithers. Ellis Ross is the Conservative candidate for the riding of Skeena-Bulkey Valley and is making his way across the region to meet with voters and pitch his message. According to the polling aggregator 338 Canada, Ellis Ross has a 97% chance of winning the riding, which could upend 20 years of NDP control of Skeena-Bulkey Valley. Before his campaign stop in Smithers, CICK News and the Tyee's Amanda Follett-Hosgood had a chance to speak with Ellis Ross outside the Smithers Legion.
How's it been going so far?
Good. We're getting good responses here in Telqua and Smithers and Houston and Burns Lake. Yeah, but it's a massive riding. We're trying to get to everybody. So it's going to be a struggle getting out to every place.
What are you hearing from people? What do you think the big issues are?
Places like here in Smithers, they're worried about the crime. I mean, especially the other day, I just got word that a challenged person got home invaded and beaten up and had to crawl for help.
In Smithers?
Yeah, in Smithers. And everywhere I go, even the smaller communities like Telqua, they're worried about the crime. And that's I came from Terrace. And I brought the Terrace Council down to Victoria to try help the British Columbia government to realize you got to come help these towns that are trying to struggle with a crime, which they did.
Are you hearing about tariffs?
What's that?
Are you hearing about tariffs?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's hearing about tariffs.
What are your thoughts on addressing that?
It's something that the United States is doing to bolster their own economy. And I agree with something that Poilievre said a few years ago, we're too dependent on the United States. I think people realize that for a long time. So I agree with Poilievre. We've got to diversify our trade with other countries. But first, we've got to apologize to them because we sent Germany away with saying, we don't have LNG for you. We sent Italy away saying, we don't have LNG for you. I mean, our government said there's no business case for LNG. But now Alaska is going to sign a $40 billion LNG agreement with Japan. And so without a doubt, there's a business case. In fact, we got LNG started first in Kitimat, but the United States started later, and they became the largest LNG exporter in the world. It's just that our economy has been stifled and ignored for too long, and now we're finding ourselves in a weaker position.
We have the third largest port in Canada in Prince Rupert.
Yeah.
How do you think, in this context, how do you think we here in the Northwest can position ourselves in this trade war, tariff war, with a place like Prince Rupert?
They are key. I went to tour it there. I've seen all the land they cleared out, and they lowered the grade like 20 feet. And they're talking about exports, imports, and they've actually got the rail actually built into it around their site. It's massive what they're doing. I think that Prince Rupert is key, especially when you consider Vancouver Port is backed up. All the West Coast ports are backed up. The only question I have is, okay, we have an undeveloped port in Stewart. I think that could be key for mineral exports, as well as we have a private port in Kitimat, but that's already basically earmarked for LNG and Haisla Cedar LNG. But I've been talking about economics for 15 years. I've been talking about international trade for 15 years. Nobody wanted to listen. Now everybody's concerned about the economy that's been stifled for 9 years and how do we fix it. It's a great conversation to be part of finally. And this is what I'm going around telling communities, especially ones suffering, like Houston. I mean, it's time to reinvest and think big and bring back our economies for the sake of our societies and our people who are suffering.
One thing you brought up the other day, April 1st, we're going to see a tanker of LNG come up the channel to kind of prime the system there at LNG Canada.
So yeah.
LNG Canada is getting ready to ship out their first shipment of LNG before the end of this year.
That's right.
So that's happening. where do you sit with the Tsai Lism's LNG port that is proposed and kind of going through the motions right now? And on the same note, with, you know, with this type of issue with tariffs and diversifying economies, would you support a repeal of the tanker ban?
The tanker ban won't affect them because that was mainly set for oil tankers.
Yeah.
But Tsai Lism's LNG is in the same boat that we were in, Haisla, back in 2004. I mean, this is what people don't realize. It was the Haisla people and First Nations from Prince George to Kitimat that actually pushed LNG exports on the provincial government and federal government. I mean, it wasn't the provincial government's idea. It wasn't the federal government's idea. In fact, we had to convince them this was the way to go. And so Nisga is in the same boat right now, and I fully support them, not only in terms of what it's going to do to get their people a better lifestyle and a better future, but also how it's going to benefit Canada and BC. And the tremendous amount of work and opportunity that we provided in Kitimat for all the communities across BC, I think that's what LNG for Nisga is actually proposing, the same thing.
I know you were chief counselor of the Haisla back in the days of the Northern Gateway debate. And obviously subsequently happened was that tanker ban, C-48. And yeah, you know, it doesn't cover LNG, so LNG is on its way. But would you support repealing that tanker ban to, you know, open the door for oil export out of the North Coast?
Well, I thought about that in the context of what was happening at the time. And when they came up with that tanker ban, the two First Nations opposed it was Lac aux Lambs and Nisga, because they felt they hadn't been consulted and accommodated. And this is what I find with these types of governments. When they talk about this stuff, they don't really pay attention to the First Nations that really want economic development to resolve poverty or unemployment. They just go with, well, what seems right for Ottawa or Victoria, for that matter. And that's what I've been trying to change. I've been trying to tell different levels of government and politicians, First Nations are actually mandated to have a seat at the table because of the Haida court case of 2004. And what I find is, more often than not, governments ignore that. And that's what I try to fix. I try to educate politicians, governments, to kind of stick to what government's supposed to be doing on behalf of all of us as Canadians.
I mean, on the same note, there was a lot of support from First Nations and others around the tanker ban. What would you say to that?
There was, but you know, when you go back to the Haida court case of 2004, I mean, I know it's a kind of a tough question, but there is a clause in the Haida court case that says you have to look at the economic component of rights and title. You have to look at it. And when they came up with that tanker ban, they didn't consider the treaty rights of Nisga, and they didn't consider the Aboriginal rights and title of Lac aux Lambs. They didn't consider it. And First Nation leaders, the ones I've met over the last 15 years, they're all trying to do one thing. They're trying to lift their people out of poverty. And for politicians and governments to ignore that is actually ignoring what has been referred to as Canada's shame. I mean, hopefully we resolve that in Kitimat, and hopefully we resolve that as a first step for pipeline communities along the route from Prince George to Kitimat. But, you know, most of the Aboriginals that I met, they're doing it for their people, for a better future. Kids, grandkids, seven generations down the line.
Is it fair to say then that, you know, oil transportation through the riding wouldn't be off the table as far as you're concerned?
No, I've been watching the conversation, and it's not a simple answer. There's a lot of Aboriginal rights and title that have to be addressed as per Section 35 of the Constitution and the Haida court case. I don't agree with Carney saying that he'd invoke emergency powers to build pipelines. You don't need that. All you got to do is reverse Ottawa's policies. And if you do invoke emergency powers, what does that say about you railroading over Aboriginal rights and title? He hasn't answered that question.
There's that recent letter from a handful of oil companies that were suggesting that. Is that what you're thinking of?
No, I'm just thinking about, like my background is protecting the environment back in 2003, 2004, and then it started protecting the Aboriginal rights and title interests as per the Haida court case. Yeah. So when I see governments overreaching and trying to power grab, saying that's an emergency somehow, I've seen that before, and coming from the Indian Act, I try to warn people, when you give away a bit of your rights to government, be careful. Because once they take a little bit, they'll start taking more. So that's what I'm trying to warn people about that, because under the Indian Act, everybody will tell you, it's about government control. And that's what a lot of First Nations have been trying to fight against, getting government control out of their communities. So I'm very, very nervous when I see governments claiming that they're going to do something and using emergency powers, when really, It's not an emergency. Just reverse the policies that you put in place that stifled our economy. That's all you got to do.
Thanks, Alice.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Good luck.
You too.
That was the Conservative candidate for the riding of Skeena-Bulkley Valley, Ellis Ross.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.
Learn more about CICK? Visit us at smithersradio.com. Yeah, .com.